Okay, in our class, in our last study, we have seen, you may remember, chapter 4, 12 to 17. Peter spoke about the fiery trials that these Christians will have to suffer. And then he also spoke about the judgment that begins at the house of God. Now in some translation, this portion begins like this: "So I exhort the elders." In NKJV it is the elders, but in ESV it begins like this: "So I exhort the elders." So means, because he spoke about the coming trials, that is for the Christians, and also the judgment that is taking place in the assemblies. Elders, they should take care of the assembly, the suffering Christians. They should pay special attention in their ministry. And so we see here in chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, exhortation to, how to care for the suffering saints, exhortation to the elders, 1 to 4. Then exhortation for believers. What should be their response to the elders? So 1 to 7 we have a message for the whole assembly. To the elders, to the leadership, and also to the general believers. Now one thing is very clear here. To maintain a healthy atmosphere in the assembly, not only the elders have a role, believers also have a role. Not only believers have a role, elders also have a role. Now quite often what happens, generally speaking, it is the tendency of human being to criticize those who are on the leadership. Now we all do that. Just look at the parliament, or our government. Opposition always, they will oppose. But in the assembly also, sometimes we see that. But we must remember, in the assembly there is no ruling party. There is no opposition. It is the responsibility of everyone to maintain the healthy atmosphere of the assembly. So if the assembly has to go properly, everyone should do certain things. That's why Apostle Peter, first four verses, he writes to the elders, then he writes to the general believers, young and old together. So we'll see, there are two actually messages here. It's true that it is for the elders. Quite often we don't like it, but Peter says something and you have to learn it, you have to study it. Then in the end, the exhortation to the believers. So let's see what Apostle Peter tells about the eldership. Now we must remember two things we should notice here, three things. First of all, we understand that not only from here, even from the other portions also, always we see in the New Testament, eldership or oversight is referred in plural. We know that very well. Even though we know it, we should know it very well. You know, we should remember it again. We should know, we don't make a mistake. We should know, we have elders, we don't have one pastor, and it's not a mistake. It's not a failure. We are following the truth. So in the New Testament, we have a reference to eldership always in plural, more than one elder. Elders, suppose St. Peter says, the elders who are among you. Now, what is the reason why in the New Testament? See, I'm not going to what Apostle Paul wrote about the eldership and the other references. We have no time to go to all those references. Now, why is it necessary in the assembly there should be more than one elder, or there should be elders? Why is it necessary? Is it because we have to follow what the Bible says? There are some reasons are there. I think there are at least four reasons are there. The first thing is for balanced ministry. The balanced ministry means what? See, we have seen earlier, last week we saw, not all have the same gift. Every Christian has a distinct gift. When we come together, no one person has all the gifts. All of us have different gifts. If there is a pastor, one pastor, the pastor, he is the one who controls everything, that means there is no opportunity for for making use of the other gifts. Only one person's gift is being exercised day after day. So that will lead to imbalanced ministry. So to maintain balanced ministry, there should be plurality of eldership. There should be more than one elder, or according to the New Testament, we have more than one elder. And another thing, to prevent error. That's very clear. There's only one person controlling everything. It's natural. There will be error. Nobody to question. Nobody has the authority to question. But one, more than one, there'll be opinion. One will say something, the other will judge it, the other will discern or think about it, and there will be, consensus, there will be a proper judgment, proper conclusion. So, we can prevent error by having plurality of eldership. Now, the third thing, to prevent human domination. If you are coming there, Peter says something about that. Naturally, yeah, we read that, we know that. Power corrupts. Power corrupts. The moment when one person gets the opportunity to get a position, if it is against God's will, he will begin to dominate. So when one person is controlling the entire assembly, naturally, in the course of time, there is a tendency to dominate. So more than one elder, more than one elder, makes it possible that it preserves, prevent from human domination. Now, thirdly, helps in time of trouble. Fourth one, helps in time of difficulties. If there's somebody who is sick, somebody who is absent, so there will not be any problem, or some other difficulty may come. When we come together, we don't come to one person. We don't trust in one person. We don't depend upon one person. We depend upon the Lord. And the Lord will time to time raise up able men with gifts to complete the assembly, or feed the assembly. So plurality of eldership helps the assembly in many ways, and that is according to the New Testament, and we need to maintain that. That's one thing we need to remember. And the second thing we need to remember, to notice here, from Apostle Peter writes here, that is the terms used interchangeably. Peter, we know that, he is referring to the elders who are among you. Okay. Then he says, shepherd the flock. That verb, shepherd. Elders, you have to shepherd the flock. Then, serving as overseers. So, elders, and then, shepherds, overseers. All the three are same. I have to control my time. I have to be careful, Elders, referring to their maturity, and shepherds, shepherds and overseers, both referring to the work they are doing. But you must remember, all these three are the same people. Now we see it in the same manner in Acts 20. We know that Apostle Paul, he is calling upon the elders of Ephesus, and the Ephesians elders are coming. Then he tells them, The Spirit of God has appointed you as overseers. So elders, you are overseers. And then you have to shepherd the flock. So these three terms, these are used interchangeably. Elder, referring to their seniority or maturity. And shepherds and overseers, referring to their work. But the problem sometimes, we only like the term elder. We don't like the term pastor. He won't write for the assembly pastors. He won't write bishops. And I don't advocate for that, because of the misunderstanding taking place, you know, elder is the best word that we can use, because there won't be any misunderstanding. If we use bishop, you know, that spirit will be in trouble. And pastor also will be in trouble. So it's good to use elders. Elders is the best word, you know. But we should not criticize somebody is using. Because all these three terms are referring to the same people. Same people, elders or bishops or pastors. The thing is, they should be more than one. No one pastor, no one bishop, no one elder controlling the entire assembly. There will be more than one. Now the third thing I have noticed here is, from what Apostle Peter writes about the eldership, you see, in verse 1 as well as 2, he says that elders who are among you, again in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. To the people he writes, elders among you. And referring to the people, he says, to the shepherds, flock among you. So that means, these elders are found where? In the assembly itself. You don't need to bring them from outside. You don't need to give an advertisement. We often read that. Ministry opportunity in so-and-so church. Ministry opportunity in so-and-so chapel. Accommodation is available. And payment this much is available. Anybody is interested, you can write. I've seen, we see quite often. That is against the word of God. We understand that in the assembly, in the company of God's people, there are elders. And it is the Spirit of God who appoints them. And the believers will have to recognize them. Now here it is here, as we see in the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if the assembly, the believers, they feel that they don't have able men. They don't have men with special gifts. What they should do? They are not supposed to give an advertisement. They have to pray for better gifts. They have to pray that Lord may raise up such gifted men among them that they will be used as shepherds or pastors or elders in the assembly. They are among them. Elders are found among the saints. Now these three things we should remember as Apostle Peter speaks to these elders here. Now three things. First of all, the plurality of eldership, and then the interchangeable use of different terms, and also the elders are found in the assembly itself. Now Peter speaks about the duty of the oversight. What are the works they have to do? There's three things are there. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. That's the first thing. Shepherd the flock. Now that's very clear. That word Bible teaches, they say shepherd. That word actually refers to all that is involved in a shepherd's task. See, we don't read that. Peter doesn't say you feed the flock. Peter says you shepherd the flock. That means, as a shepherd, see, a shepherd, whatever he has to do in taking care of the flock, he has to do everything for the flock. So shepherding the flock means that includes feeding them and protecting them, finding the best food for them, and also keeping them from wolves or animal enemy. And they have to shepherd the flock. That is the first thing. Now we must remember another thing. God's people are compared to, it's written there, flock. Now why is it necessary? Now what is the implication? Now as elders or deacons or anybody, even myself, I don't know whether I'm an elder or deacon, but one thing I know, God has given me a responsibility in the assembly. If I sense that, I must understand God's people are not horses, God's people are not compared to dogs, God's people are not compared to horses, God's people are compared to flock. They need care. They need somebody to take care of them. They will easily go astray. They can't come back to the fold if they miss the way. So we need to understand that God's people need care. They are like flock, and we need to shepherd them. We need to take care of them, feed them, protect them. And secondly, Peter says, oversee the church as overseers. Overseer speaks of looking after or overseeing, watching over. Supervision, it includes supervision, supervising the church, what is taking place. Elders or leadership should know what is taking place, and they should instruct, giving instruction and giving direction which way they should go, and teach them, and discipline also. When the flock, when the believers, when they go away, when they go against the word of God, elders should understand it and they should correct them. So oversee the church. As overseers, they should watch over the church or guard the church. Now the third thing, it's not very clear there, but I believe that's the main responsibility of the eldership. What is that? End of verse 3, being example to the flock means elders should stand in the front, and they should stand there in the front and lead them with example. Elders are not supposed to drive the flock. Elders are supposed to stand in the front and tell the public, or let them see what they are doing. And they should be as an example, as a pattern, and thus they should lead the flock of God. They should lead them. These are the three responsibilities. Apostle Peter says they should perform, or they should do in the, they should fulfill in the assembly. See, of course, there are much more in the writings of Apostle Paul, but I am not going there. Our topic is not on pastoral theology or pastoral care, but Apostle Peter says to the elders, because of the coming sufferings for the Christians, and because of the judgment that is going to fall upon the believers, the elders should take care of the church in a very special manner. They should pay very careful attention to the everyday affairs of the assembly, shepherding the flock, overseeing the church, leading the church. Now, Apostle Peter in verse 2 gives three possible dangers of eldership. See verse 2. Again, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. So that is one danger, compulsion. Now what does it mean by compulsion? See, compulsion means because of the pressure of certain people, or because of the pressure of the circumstances. The condition is such that I should do something. I don't want to do, but the circumstances is such that I have to do something. Or the believers or somebody else, you have to do, because of some reason or other, compellingness. Peter says, no elder should, or no pastor, no assembly ministry should be done because of compulsion. You don't want to do, but because you are compelled to do, Peter says, you should not do that. It's a danger. You should do it willingly. Willingly means, now in some Bible translation you will see an additional word, willingly according to God. Willingly according to God means you have a willingness. You are freely happy to serve the Lord, remembering that, realizing that it is God's desire for me, it is God's plan for me. You're doing it for God, not doing because of the circumstances, not doing because of the compulsion of certain people, and not doing because of any other reason, because God wants me to do. So that is the first thing. Peter says to do oversight work. or the ministry in the church, doing any kind of spiritual activity in the assembly out of compulsion is a danger, and we should not do that. And the second thing he says in the same verse, it is not for dishonest gain but eagerly. Not for dishonest gain means, that means not for any gain. Now we understand that from, there are many who don't believe that, but the Bible says, you see in New Testament, covetousness, 1 John 5:17, you see 1 John 5:17 we read there, from there we understand that in those days, there are full-time elders, there are full-time pastors or bishops. 1:17 we read, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. The double honor doesn't speak of just appreciating, it speaks of, from 18 we understand, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it feeds out the grain. The laborer is worthy of his wages. So that speaks of a full-time pastor, elder or bishop. The one who is giving his total time for teaching, preaching and so on. Paul says he should be paid. And the assembly should support them. The assembly should help them. I don't think it's as a payment, as a wages, as a salary. But here we understand that there were full-time elders. We need even today. I'm not going to that aspect. But the Bible says there were full-time elders and they were paid also. But the other thing, the other side is, we see at Titus chapter 1:11. The other side is, from Titus 1:11 we understand, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. Certain people, because they get money, because they get wages, because they gain certain things, they teach. They teach in such a way that people will be happy, as we see today. And Peter Paul says, their mouth should be stopped. So here Peter also says the same thing. There may be somebody, elders, all these Christian workers, pastors, bishops, their aim is to gain money, or even not only money, gain something else, position, or respect. And such covetousness, this should not be the reason for eldership or spiritual service in the assembly. So danger in possible danger in eldership, compulsion, being compelled, somebody is compelling, not interested actually, and covetousness, wrong motive, wrong spirit, first number one, wrong motive, number two. Okay, that's something which we need to discourage. And thirdly, third danger, verse 3, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, nor as being lords, domineering, dominating. They want to control. Now that's the best example we have in 3 John. We know that, read that verse, 3 John verse 9 and 10, we read there, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, there's a person who wants to have preeminence among them, and does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church, dominating or domineering. This is another danger we need to discourage. We need to be very careful about that. So Peter says these three things should be avoided. We should minister in the right spirit, because of compulsion, with the right motive, not with covetousness, and in the right mind, not to dominate, but to serve the people of God. Now Apostle Peter says, what is the reason why he is so serious about these things? Ministry in the assembly, about eldership. Why does he want them? What are the reasons? I have found some five reasons. Peter says, indirectly, we can notice there, Peter is warning these, elders or leadership in the assembly. You should serve the church of God in such a way. Because, reasons, number one, he understands their peril. You see verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort, who am a fellow elder. He says, I don't order you as an apostle, but I'm writing it with sympathy. I know your trouble. I know the difficulty of being an elder as a responsible brother in the assembly. I believe all those who have done some kind of ministry in the assembly, they know very well. Keeping quiet is very easy to keep quiet in the assembly. Very easy. Absolutely easy. But to stand in the front and do some ministry is very, very hard. If it is for years, very hard. And I understand that. And Peter also understands it. He says, I understand your peril, your difficulties. Your difficulty in serving the Lord in the assembly. That's why I give you some guidelines. I warn you. I suggest these things. I exhort you. So that is number one. In sympathy, understanding the peril, he writes them. In understanding the struggle, he writes to them. And the second reason why he writes, verse 1 again, he says, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. He says, I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I know how much Christ suffered for the flock of God. Christ suffered for the flock, then we who are, we also have to suffer for the flock of God. That's the number two reason. Reason number two. And reason number three, verse 1 again, he also says, I'm a witness to what? A partaker of the glory that will be revealed. I know the glory that is going to be revealed. In chapter 4:13, he referred to that. One day when the Lord is going to come, today we are suffering, but one day glory is going to be revealed. Peter says, I have seen it. I have testified it. I have experienced it. Where? In Matthew's Gospel 17, on the mountain of transfiguration. He has experienced, he had a foretaste of that glory that is going to be revealed. Today we suffer. One day when Christ is going to come, we shall receive that glory. And because I know it, I tell you, faithfully serve the Lord. And because he has tasted the glory that is to be revealed. Now number four, fourth reason why he writes here, he knew that we are only under shepherds, verse 3 and 4. See verse 3 here again, let us read that. Not dishonest gain, but eagerly, not being lords over those entrusted to you. Earlier he said, shepherd the flock of God. The flock, the people of God, they belong to God. And God has entrusted these people of God into your hands. They belong to God. God has entrusted it to you. You are a shepherd, but you don't own the flock. You are only an under shepherd. Christ is the chief shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, the archbishop. No one can take that name. He is the arch shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. We are only under shepherd. God's people, they belong to God. How can I dominate them? How can I control them? How can I lord over them? It's wrong. Peter says we can't do, we should never do. We should understand that we are only servants, under shepherds. He is the chief shepherd, and one day he is going to come. By the way, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is, you know, presented to us as our shepherd in three aspects. We know that's very good study. He is a good shepherd. He is a good shepherd who gave his life in John's Gospel 10:11. We know that. And he is great shepherd. We see in Hebrews 13:20, the one who imparts life today. That the Congress refers to our life today. Not only he gave his life yesterday, and today also, today he gives life to those whom he saved. And he is the chief shepherd who is going to come with a reward for all our service that we do for the Lord today. So Peter says he is going to come. Chief shepherd is going to come, and we are answerable to him. We are only under shepherds. Don't think that we can do anything in the assembly. Oh, we need to understand it very clearly. Believers should understand. God's servants should understand. Elders and deacons and evangelists should understand. Every Lord's servant should understand. The assembly belongs to God. God's people, they belong to God. And I should never play with the assembly. I should never play with the believers. Sometimes, you know, let me tell you very frankly, some of you know that. These days, very especially, I felt very sorry. Very sorry means I felt that in my heart. I'm a little bit harsh, strict. I speak loudly. I speak with little bit force. And I felt that somebody is not interested. Maybe somebody is hurt by it because of that. I sincerely pray. And somebody also made a comment in between during a conversation. And that's the first time I understood that aspect. I don't want to comment to repeat that. But really in these days, because of those various reasons, touched my heart. I realized, God's people, I'm not the master, I'm not the owner. I should never lord over. I should speak, but I should speak in such a way, realizing that they are God's people. I should speak in such a way, I should honor them. I should respect them. I should never think that they are my employees. Or I should never think that they are my servants. I should never think that they are under me. I am only one among them. I am serving them. So I should speak in such a manner that I should not hurt their feelings. I should not break their heart. I felt it. I don't know whether you felt it or not, but I felt it. Not about here, generally speaking. It touched my heart. What? God's people, God's flock. God has entrusted a group of people in my hand or in our hands. My job is faithfully serve the Lord. And I am answerable to Him. He is the chief shepherd. I am only an under shepherd. And I must be serious about it. I must be faithful to him. We read in Ezekiel chapter 34, 7 to 10. We have no time to go there. In the Old Testament, Jehovah, the Lord, rebukes the elders of Israelites or Old Testament. My flock, he did not care for them. One day the Lord is going to come. John Peter says, I know he is going to ask. You have to give an account. And not only that, he says, he is also aware of the reward that he is going to get. He knew faithful ministry will be rewarded. Receive the crown of glory. God's servants, elders, deacons, evangelists, pastors, Bible teachers, striving to serve the Lord, to serve the Lord's people, to teach them, guide them, lead them, whatever ability we can, as much as we can. Peter says, there is a day the Lord is going to come, chief shepherd, he will give us a reward. We have to give an account. And for faithful ministry, there is a reward. So Apostle Peter says, that's why I want you to be careful in your ministry. Now we know about various, you know, crowns. I have no time to go there. Whether these are five types of crowns or the five aspects of crown, whatever it may be, there are rewards. Crown of life for those who suffered patiently, temptation or trials, imperishable crown for those who remember the contest in 1 Corinthians 9, run well, and crown of rejoicing for those who have won souls, and crown of righteousness for those who fought a good fight and completed their work, and crown of glory, the Apostle Peter says, who have done a good work in the assembly. Work in the assembly, faithfully, serving the Lord and Lord's people, there is a day of reward. So, here we have exhortation to the elders. Now we have 10 minutes and we have to complete those 3 verses where we have exhortation for the believers. Likewise. You see verse 5 begins, likewise. You younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yet all of you be submissive to one another. So here I think this is the main point to the younger people. Then he says to all of you, be submissive. They should be submissive to the elders. As I told you already, elders have a responsibility. Believers also have a responsibility. In Hebrews 13:17, there's an interesting verse is there. We should read that. In Hebrews 13:17, the writer says, obey those who rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. Let them do with joy means you give such a situation, create such a situation, let them do their work joyfully, peacefully, not distract them. Always criticizing, always finding faults. No, there are sometimes we do that. We find all kinds of mistakes. You do good thing for throughout the life, now one will say anything. Make little mistake in words or in deeds, you raise it up. And then what happens? Our interest will go. The joy will go. That freedom will go. Because we feel, well, if I make a mistake, what will happen? So the interest to serve will diminish. That's why writer says, give such an occasion that let them do their eldership, their work with joy, not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for you. If believers create such a situation where the elders, your servants, can't work properly, it's unprofitable for you. Who will lose? Whose loss it is? Believers. The assembly as a whole will lose it. The benefit of their ministry. So, we believers, they have a responsibility to be submissive to the elders. Now here, when you read carefully, not only to the elders, the oversight, it refers to every order people. Everyone should be. Then he says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another. All of you be submissive to one. See, we have seen it earlier also in the workplace, in the society, at home, everywhere. Believers are supposed to be submissive. We should not be aggressive. Or we should not be self-assertive. We should be submissive. We should be willing to yield. Okay. Now, that's the first thing he says to the believers. Submit yourself. Now, secondly he says, be close with humility. I believe the first thing is the most important topic there. That is the main idea there. To believers, be submissive. Then he asked upon it, be close with humility. The end of verse 5. Be close with humility. Now what is the difference? He doesn't say you be humble. He doesn't say you should live a humble life. He says be close. Close means you should have humility. That's one thing. Humility speaks of the lowliness of mind. In our mind, we don't feel as I'm important. Though I have power, though I have many things, in my mind I say to myself, I'm nobody. I'm nothing. And not only to keep that attitude in myself, I should close myself with this mind. That means, they should see my humility. I should put, maybe Apostle Peter, you know, think about that occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ, he laid aside the garments and he gathered himself and began to wash the feet of the disciples. And he thinks on the same line. You should gird yourself with humility. Let it be shown to others. Let everybody see that you are humble. Your action of humility. Act in humility, deliberately showing that you are humble. Why? Because it says there, the quote from Proverbs, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Because God is carefully watching, three things can be noticed there. God is watching carefully our actions, our attitude, and God will treat us accordingly. God will deal with us according to our mind, our mentality, our attitude. We cannot deceive God. We cannot deceive Him. When we live with humility, when we clothe ourselves with humility, God will see it. And God resists the proud. And God will stop such people. And God will pour His grace upon the humble ones. That's why Peter says, be close with humility. Now the third thing he says, be under God's hands. Verse 6. Therefore, again the same idea, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Be under God's hand. God, be humble. Be humble where? Under the hands of God. His hands are mighty. His hands are powerful hands. He is able to do anything. So believe that and be humble under the mighty hands of God. Then fourth, finally he says, be under God's hands. Okay, that has been given you. Now you have the four together there. Submit to yourselves, be clothed with humility, be under God's hands, then cast all our care upon Him. These verses are very familiar to us. Very encouraging verses. Apostle Peter, he quotes from Psalm 55, cast all your anxiety, all your burden upon Him. Come under the hands of the Lord and wait there patiently. And he cares for you. Because He cares for you, why should you carry the burden? It's very hard to understand. Easy to preach, you know. I don't know how many times I tell myself God is faithful. I don't know how many times I tell myself that God is faithful. God is faithful. Faithful is the Lord. Why do you worry? But even after telling my mind, sometimes I feel burdened. Burden. It's human tendency. So we need to say, as Apostle Paul Peter says, cast all our care upon Him. He cares for us. We need only to come under His hands. That's important. We should be under His hands. Realizing that His hands are mighty. Realizing that He is sovereign. He can do anything. He controls everything. And be under Him and patiently wait. Cast all our care upon Him. Don't carry any burden. When we do so, we are doing something against the word of God. It's sin actually. It's disobedience actually. It is unbelief actually. We need to trust God and cast all our care upon Him. Once we cast our care upon Him, then we should not worry actually. But I say, humanly speaking, we do, that's why repeatedly we should say, no, cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for us. We have a Lord who cares for us. We have a Lord who cares for our children. We have a Lord who cares for my life, our personal life, our assembly life. He cares for us. That's the wonderful truth about Bible, about our God. We don't need to care for our God. We don't need to take care of our God. Our God takes care of us. Is it not wonderful? You need to be happy about it. So Apostle Peter says, cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. And what would be the result? When we humbly, with patience, with confidence, we come under the hands of the Lord, care quietly, joyfully, wait at his, under his hands, what happens? He gives grace to the humble. And he will exalt us in due time. In due time, that's very important. Due time, never go, never try to be exalted before time. Oh, we need to pray. I should pray, Lord, don't exalt me before time. I should be only going, climbing, moving forward according to your time. He will lead us, he will guide us. No man can do that. Even if any man will do it, it will not be good for us. God may exalt us. I need only to yield to him, and he will exalt me in due time, and also in relation to the ministry, he will give us a reward. So here we have an exhortation for the entire assembly, the elders as well as the believers. What they should do? They should be under the mighty hands of God. Elders and believers together. They should be under the mighty hand of God. They should understand he is the chief shepherd, and they should be under the lordship of Christ. They should faithfully serve him, everyone, and because he is caring for us, and because he is coming with everyone. May God help us that we may love this Lord and trust this Lord, not to be worried, and but yield to him, faithfully serving him, waiting for our reward. May his name be.